Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place. Grateful, grateful, grateful for another opportunity to be with you all this week. I am excited to have with us this week our co-host, Evangelist Hope Brogdon. Good morning, Hope. Hope, good morning. Praise God. I see you on the line. Amen. Good morning, Hope. Are you there? Hello? Well, there appears to be an issue with her line this morning. That's okay. We can still move forward. Amen. Good morning, Hope. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
What in the world?
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, Evangelist Brogdon will be bringing the word. We're grateful to those who have called in this morning and those who are in the chat room. And we're not going to prolong Evangelist Brogdon, and I'm going to turn it over to you. Amen.
Amen. We're going to talk about adversity. And first, we're going to start off by giving the meaning of it. Adversity is defined as a difficult situation or condition, a misfortune or tragedy or hostile condition. And we're going to be coming from 2 Kings chapter 5. I know I originally told you verses 1 through 5, but I feel that God wants me to read further into this. So beginning, 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, the king of Syria had high admiration for Naaman, the commander-in-chief of his army, for he had led his troops to many glorious victories. So he was a great hero, but he was a leper. Bands of Syrians had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a little girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the little girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." Naaman told the king what the little girl had said. Oh, by the way, this is the Living Bible translation. Verse 5, "Go and visit the prophet," the king told him. "I will send a letter of introduction for you to carry to the king of Israel." So Naaman started out taking gifts of $20,000 in silver, $60,000 in gold, and 10 suits of clothing. The letter to the king of Israel said, "The man bringing this letter is my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read it, he tore his clothes and said, "This man sends me a leper to heal. Am I God that I can kill and give life? He is only trying to get an excuse to invade us again." But when Elisha the prophet heard about the king of Israel's plight, he sent this message to him. "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet of God here in Israel." So Naaman arrived with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's home. Elisha sent a messenger out to him to go tell him, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be healed of every trace of his leprosy." But Naaman was angry and stalked away. "Look," he said, "I thought at least he would come out and talk to me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call upon the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the Abana River and the Pharpa River of the Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel put together? If it's rivers I need, I'll wash at home and get rid of my leprosy." So he went away in a rage. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, "If the prophet had told you to go do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply to go and wash and be cured." So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, and as the prophet had told him. And his flesh became as healthy as a little child's, and he was healed. Then he and his entire party went back to find the prophet. They stood humbly before him, and Naaman said, I know at last that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Now please accept my gift. So we're talking about adversity, and we're going to be focusing on Naaman's maid, the little girl. And here we have a little girl. Her background is that she's a slave. She's living with idolaters. She was basically looted goods from the war. She's lost everything she knew in her life, her family, her friends, and now she's in an adverse environment. But the thing is, God is asking us, how are we going to act when we are in adverse environments and adverse situations and adverse conditions? And the thing about her was that I noticed was that she was confident in who she was as a child of God. And because she was confident, she exposed her faith in God. She didn't show any ill will towards her captors that she is now serving. She is now interceding for them. And because she was not silent, she has now led Naaman to his source of healing and exposed to him who the true God is. So I wrote down three scriptures. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." So if we faint, we are exposing ourselves that we are weak because we don't trust God. So I keep thinking about her. What if she had become weak and just literally became in bondage and a slave and stayed silent and did nothing? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know not for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." All good and bad is all in God's plan and will, and we need to look at it at that. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." In other words, put yourself in their place and remember that we too were in chains and in bondage at one time. So here she is, a little girl, looking at her now, her new master, who just happened to be a leper. So now she's really to me, your lepers in the day were cast out. Now she's living with one. And for her to overcome all of this and still stay focused on what her purpose was, she wanted him. It was her desire for him to be healed regardless. So the questions I want to present to people are, number one, will you be silent in your faith to God? Two, in your adverse situation, can you intercede for someone else? And three, can you be that witness for him to expose to those who don't know God, the true living God, regardless of the situation?
Good questions. Good question.
Good question.
Good question. So,
as a woman, here was a child, you know.
Understood. And again, we thanks for the callers that are on the line this morning. If you have any comments or questions, first one, and we'll bring you live as well. I'm interested to hear the minister's feedback that are on the line this morning. With the questions that you posed, how do you feel when placed in adverse situations? How do you feel? How are you handling adversity in this stage of your journey with God? How does it affect you? Because I mean, each of us.
Go ahead,
adversity. Adversity. How do you deal with it?
The thing that if we look at the little girl
not looking at the little girl, looking at hope. Well, looking at hope. Hope. How does hope? We see in the story how the little girl is. But how does hope deal with adversity?
Well, that's what I was trying to say. Just like the little girl, she, regardless, what she has seen and how she was raised and how she developed her faith, she wasn't ashamed to share it with anybody. And that's just like with me now. People and my family and my children know, and even my granddaughter know, that by what I speak and what I do and how I handle situations, they've seen my faith grow regardless of what's going on. They pay attention to my reaction. So, like, before I knew God, or before my walk was strengthened, I was weak. I mean, I would get upset. I wouldn't know what to do. And it wasn't until I got into the Word and then started really trusting Him that I was able to handle things better and not to get so upset, I guess I should say. Put it like that. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I know that for many, when they deal with adversity, they begin to wrestle with flesh and blood. And, you know, we've been talking about in our Bible studies, spiritual warfare, and how we're not to wrestle against flesh and blood, but to really identify the spirit behind what's causing the adversity or the turmoil or whatever the case may be,
right,
that we have to understand the spirit behind these things. And we also need to be of the mindset that in every situation we're asking God, what is it you want me to do? What is it that I need to see? What's the purpose behind what I'm dealing with in this very moment? And I think that when we take our focus off of the actual act and what's going on in that very moment, that we begin to respond differently. And I think that that's another thing,
right,
that we have to be mindful of during adversity. When there is something challenging taking place, we don't react, but we respond based on what the Holy Spirit is revealing, based on what the Word of God says. And so you're saying, well, I can't respond because I don't know what the Word of God says. Okay, good. No excuses for that, because there are ways to get to the Word. If you don't have the Bible and you've got a smartphone, just about everybody does, you can find the Word
right
on it. You know, we can't fall back on excuses alone about why we don't have knowledge and why we don't have understanding and why we don't have power that God has given to us. He's given us dominion and authority in the earth, those that are His. He's given us power to tread on the enemy's head. We can step on his neck. We've got that kind of power. But we've got to be mindful that when we're dealing with adversity, that we really don't react to what happened. Because, you know, as you stated before you got saved, it was different. You know, we talked yesterday about a fight and, you know, what provokes us in a fight. And so, you know, we were adamant that we would fight against the enemy. You know, we were ready to take back and do whatever we have to, so that the enemy does not prevail. But when we're dealing with individuals, we have to be mindful that when stuff pops up, there's a reason. There's something that
right
we have to learn. There's something that we have to see. Whether it's, and a lot of times, that which causes the most pain and the most upset to us, it's because it's a reflection of who we are. We begin to see it in somebody else, and it bothers us. It gets on our nerves. It pierces sometimes. So when we're dealing with adversity, even as you stated, we've got to check ourselves to find out how we're dealing with the adversity. If we are who we say we are as a child of God, a son and a daughter of God, then when we are faced with adversity, then we're going to step up and allow our faith to increase. We are going to be the witness for Him, because the Word tells us also that we are written epistles being read of men. So when we're facing adversity, we can't just act out
and then go back the next day and be like, oh, hallelujah, Isha Masataya Bobo. Yesterday I was cussing somebody out because you made me mad. Then I'm going to come back the next day, my witness is still the same. No, we have to be who we say we are. You know, God has an assignment. He has a mandate on our lives to help build his kingdom, to strengthen his kingdom. So that means that even in adverse situations, we have to remain true to who God has called us to be. Now, do we have moments? Yes, we do. But if you slip, be quick to repent, get back up, and move forward, not revisiting the situation that caused that. We got to get up from where we are. We got to get up. We got to move. We got to be the witness. Even when, if you are subject to working with a leper, as this maid was, you're dealing with someone that was an outcast. They have you in a situation that you can't break free from. And it's really getting on your nerves. You're on a job. Here it is. You're on a job. You need the job. You got bills to pay. You need benefits. You want this job working for somebody that is not treating you best. But you have to go to this job every day. That is that. Stop seeing it as just a job. Maybe it's just phone. You're up to the next place. But before you can get to that next place, God has to see how you're going to behave in that tight situation. Are you going in praying for those? You know, word says that we pray for those who act up towards us. I'm paraphrasing. Are you praying for them in the middle of that situation? Speaking life when they want to speak death over you, and in that they don't want to see you grow, they don't want to see you prosper. How are you responding to this? Again,
amen.
We're grateful for those on the call this morning. If anybody has any questions or comments, please press one and we can bring you on the line. Amen. Man, any more takeaways, Evangelist?
Hello?
So, do you have any other takeaways?
Just the fact that she wasn't silent. I mean, look at her situation. She was taken away. I mean, she was taken away, and now here she is, a slave. And regardless of that, she was still not silent about God and about who she was in God. And the thing is, they listened to her. They listened to her. Now, whether his motives at first were like, you know, hey, this might be my way out of getting rid of the leprosy, whatever his motives were at first, and, you know, whatever his intentions were at first, the thing was, she spoke. Let me back up. The respect she had for the prophet. So that shows you that in her environment before, as a child, she was paying attention to leadership in God. She saw how God moved, and she was a witness to that, and she wasn't afraid to speak up about it. So the thing, are we paying attention, to our leadership? You know, you had mentioned, you know, instead of reacting to the situation, that we have to, you know, sit here and ask God, okay, well, what is it, like, what spirit are we dealing with? How many people today know that they have to deal with a spirit versus just, okay, I just need to chill out and I need to pray for them? No, you need, is there leadership teaching them in the word that they need to be dealing with the spirit versus flesh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So is everybody in a place where they're getting educated?
Amen.
In the word.
Amen. It's important. It's important. It's important. It's important.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 That's good. Good, good, good. Well, we're grateful. Again, thank you for all the callers this morning and for those in the chat line. We appreciate you taking time out with us on a Sunday morning. For those who are preparing to go to a house of worship, will be lifting you up, praying for you that God would use you, that you'd be aware that if any adversity arises, you will know how to deal with it, because this morning you've been empowered with the Word of God. Evangelist Brogdon, thank you for this teaching this morning. And we look forward to what else you'll be releasing this entire month. Amen. Amen.
I love you, Pat.
I love you, too. I love you, too.
You're going to love me after these weeks.
I'm going to love you even after these weeks.
I know.
I'll let you lift the audience in on this. This has been a toil. This has been a toil for Evangelist Brogdon, and she might think Pastor's being tough on her. But I keep telling her that there is purpose in this. And with the assignment that God has given me on the earth, yes, he has anointed me to push. And so I do just that, because I know the greater that God has in store for his people who are ready to transform, who want to come out of that place of darkness into their true place of light. There are so many, and there's so many who have been hurt in church, who have been hurt in relationships, that have inflicted pain upon themselves, and because of that found themselves feeling unworthy, not usable in God's kingdom. But the ministry that God has given us with the empowerment place is to bring back a restoration, to empower people with the Word of God, with his truth, to help push them into their place of purpose so that they're able to live their best lives now. So, you know, Evangelist Hope has been with me for a couple years. She knows how I am. She knows how I am. And sometimes she wants to act like she forget, but I have to remind her.
I'm trying to stay in the nest.
Yes. No, it's time for you to fly, baby. Get your wings. It's time for you to fly. Amen. Amen. So we are grateful. We invite you all, if you have prayer requests, if you have questions about the broadcast, you can email us at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. You can find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell. And we'll be happy to respond to any questions that you have about the broadcast. Evangelist, would you like to pray us out?
Hello?
Pray us out?
Okay. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, Lord God, for reminding us that even at adversity, we need not to be silent, because we have those waiting for healing. We have those waiting for deliverance. And it's important for us to be strong in our faith and to intercede for others. And we just thank you, Lord God, for exposing this to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We invite you to join us again on next Sunday at 8 o'clock a.m. for another Empowerment Place teaching. Prayer requests, if you have them, we have Monday morning prayer at 5 a.m. each Monday morning. If you have any prayer requests, again, email us at empower_yourself@yahoo.com, or find me on Facebook and send me a message. We will gladly add you to our prayer list. Amen. As always, we encourage you at the Empowerment Place, do something every day to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. We have to stop blaming other people for where we are and what we're doing in life. Each of us has to come to the realization that we are the key to our own empowerment. We love you. God bless you all. Until next week, be empowered.